about this fellow and his wife lived next door to a truck driver. Well, this one couple was having some serious problems in their marriage, and the truck driver, well, he had a great marriage, he had a wonderful marriage, loved his wife, wife loved her husband, loved all the, you know, the kids. It was just a wonderful home. And so the guy who was having problems with his marriage went all the way across town to see a counselor who himself had been married three or four times. And you would have thought he would have gone next door to, well, you know, we need good godly advice, so you need to go to those who are examples of good godly advice, and so on. So that verse 1 said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Step number 2, trust that the Bible has a solution for every problem. I'm not so sure that many Christians are convinced that that's true. Their assumption is that, when it comes to the spiritual things, but what if I buy a car, or I need to take my car to a mechanic? Well, you can't pray about those things. Certainly we can. I mean, the Bible says we're to pray about those things, and God can guide us and God can direct us to get the right kind of vehicle. And, of course, that would have to do a lot with our finances or whatever comes down the pike for the most part there. But every problem that a Christian has is really a spiritual problem. Therefore, it has a spiritual solution. In some way or another, because we are spiritual characters. There we go, I get it out right. We're spiritual characters, spiritual beings. Then everything in our lives is going to have some sort of a spiritual connotation to it. Some may have more of a spiritual connotation, some may have less. But the Bible has a solution for every problem. We may feel lonely. Well, we know that we're not alone because the Bible's told us what? He's always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsake us. Any number of things you can look to, and I know that you may be trying to think of a number of things that maybe it doesn't apply to, but I think if you look at the Scripture, there is something in the Scriptures that will guide us and direct us in making the right decisions. And so verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And you look at all the decisions that Joshua had to make when he was getting ready to take Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He had to make a lot of decisions, not only before, but during and after. And God said, if you want to have good success, let not this law depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. He said, you're going to find the answers in here. The third thing we had looked at was trust that the Lord will bless those who will trust in his word. Verse 3, again, the Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So you need to be able to trust the word of God. If we don't trust God, then we're going to lean to our own devices. We're going to lean to our own understanding. And we may get away with it once or twice, but eventually, at some particular point, we're going to discount God or disconnect from God, and some of the decisions we make won't really be God's will for us. But trust God does bless those who say, okay, this is a Bible principle, this is a Bible precept. Step number 4, once the decision is made, stick with it. If you've prayed about it and you've gotten counsel, and some of the things that we'll look at here toward the end here in step number 5, just know this, that once you have prayed about it and God has given you a clear decision, then stick with it. The whole point there was don't change your mind in midstream. If you've really trusted God and you're moving forward with that, then it'll get somewhere out in the middle there and say, okay, you know, God, where in the world are you? I don't see you anywhere here. And it kind of, remember seeing that picture of the footprints in the sand. And he said, when I was going through trouble, he said, all I saw was my, he said, no, those weren't your foot. I was carrying you. Those were my footprints. We have to really trust the word of God. Amen. So tonight, step number 5, leave all results to God. Verses 5 and 6. "Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now, when we have the fifth point is leave all results to God. Leave all the results to God. I've shared it with you in the past, so I won't share it with you again. But have you ever struck out with the idea that I'm going to trust God for this, and you get just so far into it, next thing you know, you've taken it back from God, you've wrestled it from God, and you've taken it upon yourself, and you've moved forward. You wish you hadn't done that at some particular point. Well, when we have followed and taken God's advice and biblical counsel from his word, as we have observed in these first 4 verses, the final step is to leave or place that decision into the hands of our Lord, regardless of how it appears to be going. That is some of the problem. Remember the disciples were going across. I mean, everything was good as long as the water was outside the boat. I mean, water is supposed to be outside the boat, amen? But when the water was started coming into the boat, they began to get a little bit concerned, even though the Lord was with them. So we have to be very careful once we have made a decision, leave or place that decision in the hands of the Lord, regardless of how it appears to be going. Always, please, always know that to do right is always the right thing to do. Don't second guess. Don't try to second guess the Word of God. Don't try to second guess how God's leading in your life. Don't try to second guess the godly counsel God's providing you. Just go with it. So always know that to do right is always the right thing to do, not because of immediate results from our choosing, but because it is the right thing to do. We can never determine whether we're doing the right thing because it may not be turning out immediately the way we thought it. Because God doesn't always work in our time frame. God doesn't always work in our time schedule, does he? God has his own time frame. God has his own time schedule. And we have to work with God's time schedule. Let me give you a couple examples here tonight. I know we probably get tired of hearing these two guys, but you know what? Two more wonderful examples can we have than Daniel and Joseph. So take Daniel's choice in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his body with king's meat and his king's wine. Now we said, remember I just said something, when we made a decision, give it to God, put it in the hands of God. And that's exactly what Daniel made a decision. And he put it in the hands of God. That's what the whole word, when Daniel purposes, the word sum, that is he placed his decision in the hands of God. And so, when you look at Daniel's choice in chapter 1, it was a right decision. I mean, he was Jewish. He was in a different land. He was in different circumstances. But we've also always stated that circumstances never change the fact of what's right and what's wrong. And so, he trusted God, and it worked out marvelously. Amen. I mean, the steward who was overseeing them all agreed with Daniel. Daniel, where he was willing to work with Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And I mean, everything turned out wonderful. Wonderful. Fast forward a few years, though. Daniel chapter 6. We can turn to Daniel chapter 6. We'll be back to Psalm. But in Daniel chapter 6. Oops. We know that according to Daniel chapter 6, a decree, the other princes, they did not like Daniel. It's just like this world. The world does not like men and women and or families who will stand where God stands. You go down to Washington, D.C., and you try to be a godly individual. And I tell you what, you're going to get a lot of backlash. No matter where you go, you're going to get a tremendous amount of backlash. But we fast-forwarding a few years, Daniel chapter 6, a decree is signed. These other rulers or princes, if you will, they didn't like Daniel. They wanted to get rid of Daniel. The best way to get rid of Daniel was to find something wrong with him. And if there's ever a reason why we ought to be living impeccable lives according to the Word of God, it's because someday God's going to move us, or God's going to tap us, or God's going to want to use us. And if there's some excess baggage in that background, you better be sure the devil, he knows where it is. And he's going to bring it up. They couldn't find. I mean, this guy Daniel was squeaky clean. Imagine squeaky clean. They said, we can't find anything. If we're going to find anything, it's going to be based on his faith. But you know, that's the kind of world we live in today. If you are a fundamental Bible-believing individual and you adhere to the Word of God, and you've talked with people about certain positions, whether it's on same-sex marriages or whether it's transgendering or whatever it might be that you want to discuss, and you stand where God stands on these issues, and you run for a public office somewhere, the devil, he knows what you said, he's going to bring it up. And they may not be able to find anything else wrong, but they'll say, your faith, and they will attack you with your godly stand, and they will use that. And prayed that around as if somehow you're in league with the devil. And that's how sad our society has become at this particular point. So Daniel knows it's signed. Now, I don't know if they consorted with him confided in him, rather, let him know what they were doing. But I'm sure a rumor got around and said, hey, Daniel, guess what? These guys have it in for you. And they've got the king on their side, and the king doesn't realize it because they pulled the wool over the king's eyes. But you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. Man, I mean, our king, he knows the thoughts of the human heart. So Daniel knows that the petition, the decree is signed, and it is that no man shall ask any petition other than of the king. Well, they knew that Daniel was constantly praying. He'd pray three times a day. He'd go back to his house. He'd open his windows towards Jerusalem, and he'd pray morning, noon, and night. Maybe that's where Spurgeon got that from, morning, noon, and night. Amen. But anyway, Daniel knows it's signed, and he chooses to do what is right. He could have simply said, hey, it's only 30 days. Nothing's going to happen in 30 days. My prayer life's not going to really suffer over the next 30. After the 30 days, the decree is moot. So, you know, hey, let's move on. No, he chose to do the thing that's right. So all of a sudden, because he did the thing that's right, it doesn't appear to go all that well, does it? In Daniel chapter 6, verse 16, and I have heard of thee. Okay, that's about chapter 5. Let me go to chapter 6 and get the right chapter here. Anyway, verse 16, it says there, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the lion's den, the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Wow. Daniel could have been thinking to himself, now wait a minute. I did the right thing. What am I doing in this lion's den? Or the Hebrew children could have said that we did the right thing, so why are we walking up this ramp into the fiery furnace? And Daniel has great confidence in the Lord. And it must have at least impacted Darius, the king, in verse 16b, the last part of verse 16. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, he's a pagan king, if you will, at this point in time, who seems to have a tremendous amount of confidence in Daniel's God. Would that God's people had that much confidence in God when it came to various circumstances in our lives. And so we know the results in Daniel chapter 6, looking at verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I think what Daniel should have done, he just should have kept quiet for a little while. He could have really spoofed the king, amen? I guess that would be a dirty trick, though, wouldn't it? Anyway, in verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, Have I done no hurt? Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. So things didn't turn out immediately. Daniel did the right thing. Now for him it was maybe just a matter of 24 hours. How about Joseph? Well, I mean, back to read chapter 6, verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. That was the end of the wicked. But what does it tell us back there in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 6? It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knew the righteousness of Daniel. Daniel said that that God didn't find any fault in Daniel, nor did he find any fault in the king in this matter. The king was just deceived. But it says in the last part of that verse, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Shall perish. Listen, our responsibility is to always do the thing that's right. And let's not be worried about whether the ungodly seem to be getting away with certain things. God knows how to take care of them, and that's really what he says here in Psalms in Psalm 1, in that God's going to take care of the righteous. And he tells us, I believe it's in Haggai, that they, or I forget which one it is, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. How about Joseph? For Joseph, though he made the right decision concerning Potiphar's wife, right is always right regardless of the immediate result, and it would be several years before the blessings of Joseph's right decision would come to fruition. Now, he knew it was wrong. He knew that it was morally wrong. He knew that it was spiritually wrong. He could have taken advantage of the circumstances of having been abandoned by his brothers and his father not knowing what had happened to him. But here's the point. Whether it was Daniel or Joseph or David running from Saul for any number of years, Stephen, as he recounted Israel's history and the wickedness of the religious rulers, or any other godly historical figures, they made the right decisions because they were the right decisions to make. Not because they saw how it was going to turn out, but because they knew that it was right to do. It's always right to honor God. And then they placed the outcome in the hands of the Lord. They did not let the immediate circumstances deter them from trusting God throughout the process. Joseph knew that God had given him a dream. He gave the dream to him twice. And I'm sure that Joseph had to at least at some point figure out, okay, well, God, you didn't give me those visions for nothing. There was a purpose, there was a reason. And so he clung, I'm sure, to the fact that God had something, had a purpose in his life. And he didn't let his circumstances deter him from moving forward in that in his life with God. Now, having said this, did God fail the folks of Hebrews chapter 11? Some he delivered and some he did not deliver. Let's turn to chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just look at, we're not going to read the whole chapter, obviously. We'll just pick up with verse 32. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, verse 40 is a coming together of the redeemed of the Lord to receive the rewards due for faithfulness. Those who had to endure these things down throughout the centuries are going to come before the Bema Seat of believers, the redeemed of the Lord, and we're all going to be there to receive the reward based on our faithfulness, our stewardship of the faith as believers. For them, many of them, they're going to have a martyr's crown. They have a special understanding and a greater appreciation of what Christ endured. And there has to be, as I was thinking on this, there has to be some special connection that so few others will have with Christ when you consider a martyr's crown. Whether they were burned at the stake, sawn asunder, killed with the swords, or however it is that they met death rather than giving up the faith, they have that special connection. And I believe, I got to believe that based on Scripture, that they have a special place in the heart of the Lord. Their motive was twofold: to do what was right And I believe verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. But look what it says here. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. For those who are willing to lay their lives on the line without renouncing the faith, there is something special in that time when they stand before the Lord. They chose to do right, and they never looked back, trusting in God for that better resurrection, a resurrection to eternal life and a place of glory. No decision should be determined tonight, folks, by what we perceive to be its outcome, but rather or not, it lines up with the Scripture, and as a result, it pleases God, is the basis of the decisions we make. Not our perceived outcome, but doing right in that it pleases God is our goal. Several practical steps. We're making decisions, and the more important the decision, the more important these steps become. I'll give them to you tonight. If you want to mark them down, you can. Number one, read your Bible. When you have decisions to make, read your Bible more than you would do normally in search for truth, for guiding truth in the decision-making process. Number two, start asking God to give you the mind of Christ. The Bible is very, very clear. The Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. So start asking God to give you the mind of Christ. Number three, assemble a group of counselors. Proverbs, several times the book of Proverbs tells us there is safety in counsel. So assemble a group of counselors who are godly that you trust for advice. Men and or women who have proven themselves to be godly, faithful in the Word of God. So number four, make a list of pros and cons. When you do that, you'll see your options as you pray over your decision. And as you're listing out those pros and cons, continue to pray until it is right. If it doesn't seem right, leave it alone until it does seem right. And if it never becomes right, then it was never in the mind of the Lord for you to do it in the first place. If you're married tonight, man, you've got to be careful about making decisions that impact your whole family and discounting your wife. So if you, are you married, discuss the decision with your spouse. God does use spouses to guide us. I remember Dr. Wallace sharing with the preacher boys. He said, you know, a lot of times God will have the wife ready before the husband's ready. If he's going to move you in a ministry or even into the ministry, God will speak to the wife. Because she needs to be prepared. She's given up a lot. And she got to pack up her house and all the things, all the special touches that she's put in there and take her off to someplace else to minister and never knowing what's beyond the place you are. So discuss the decision with your spouse because God does speak to the spouses. You know what? If the spouse is in the Word of God on a regular basis, on a day-to-day basis, and you have a relationship with her spiritually speaking, then her counsel could be very valuable. Number six, take a neutral position in the decision with the idea that you're going to be okay with whichever way God chooses to go. Have you really prayed about something and it didn't turn out the way you thought? Or you had maybe preconceived that it might be and it didn't turn out that way and you were very disappointed? Have you prayed for something that you really thought you needed? Now, you tried to convince God it was a need when it was really nothing more than a want. And you didn't get it. And disappointment falls. So take a neutral position with the idea that you're going to be okay with whichever way God and the Scripture leads. That's so important. Number seven, once convinced that the decision is pleasing to God, do it and keep praying for wisdom as you go forward with the decision. Because there may be an answer tomorrow, and it may be a month, it may be a year down the road. And as you know that this is the direction God wants you to go, you say, Lord, I need the wisdom to make sure that I don't get distracted, that I don't kind of come to a fork in the road and make the wrong decision at that particular. You know, you can make a right decision and make wrong decisions in the middle of having made a right decision. See, it really depends on where you are in your walk with God. So you get the decision made, and all of a sudden you decide, hey, I'm going to step out here, and you get going down the road, and you're not really praying about it, so you start popping off these decisions that you're going to make, and guess what? Yeah. You can make bad decisions in the middle of a right decision. So that's decisions number five. Number four. All right. We got a prayer request here tonight. Or if you didn't get a prayer card, I have one here somewhere. I don't want to deal with it. So there it is right there. I got a couple things on here tonight. Number one, Emily Moore. I got a call from Linda Moore tonight, and she said that both Hannah and Emily have colds, but Emily's has gotten to the point where it's asthmatic. She's got asthma, so be praying for her. Wendy's stepmom is in hospice care right now, so please remember Wendy's stepmom. I got a nice letter from Ben Beauvais about her son-in-law, Kirk. I called her and talked a little bit, and it's a rough situation all the way around. Financially, it could be better, and it certainly could be a lot worse. But what he has to go through, and I was thinking about bringing the letter, but it would be kind of lengthy. But he is still undergoing some very severe chemo. I mean, we're talking about heavy doses of chemo. And then there's some sort of a device that they have to place probes. I don't want to really call them probes, but I wish I could remember the word. It's
Maybe a sensor?
Yeah, they're kind of like sensors that emit waves in the...
Electrodes,
but they're kind of weird looking all the way. They're not simple little electrodes, and so she's got to constantly be shaving his head to make sure there's a good contact there. And then it's quite a rig all the way around, and it's very debilitating. And Ben was saying that unlike Kirk, that his just almost like he's in a state of depression. He's not the same guy. That you would have known him before any of this ever happened there. So, and I'm wondering if this isn't somewhat of what Brother Meldrum is going through himself as well. So be much in prayer for Ron Meldrum the same way, but his is finances and a few other things that he's got problems with there too. So any other prayer requests that we need to know about here tonight? I did put down here my son-in-law, Jeff. I believe I got him somewhere in here. Excuse me, got a use of these hearing aids. Oh, yeah, I did. I put him down here under Missionaries of the Month. I'm not supporting him, but I just kind of... No, I didn't even put it there, did I? Good night. All right. It's somewhere. Oh. Oh, that's what you get when you sleep too late in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, he's down at the bottom. So rather than Vermont pastors, I put down here Pastor Jeff and Robin Mitchell as they seek God's will for... God's next, I should have been a capital H, I'm sorry, for his next phase of ministry for them. He had a pastoral search committee showed up at the church where he was filling in interimly on Sunday. They liked what they heard. Now they want to reschedule again. I guess there were a lot of distractions here. So just be much in prayer that God will move. That this will be the fit that God wants. Amen. So ask you if there was any other prayer requests. Because if not, Brother Jim, if you can get us going on these long-term prayer requests, appreciate that. pregnancy, Justin, how's Candace doing?
She, ever since we started praying, she has not had any issues.
Well, praise God.
I don't cease to let her know that. So.
Amen.
She's very, very thankful. She doesn't see the weight in it, but... She seems to accept it. So
amen.
Every opportunity that I get to witness to her and Shay, it's just a blessing. But yeah, it's just such a praise and a blessing that since we've been praying, she was going to the doctors like all the time.
So. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Mike, spiritual needs and growth. Steve, salvations. Okay, I'll do the prayer request on the back. Missionaries of the Month. Jack, you got those for us? Okay. Tom, would you hit the my son-in-law, Jeff, and Robin and family? I appreciate that so much. So.
Lord, the heart's eyes to continue being blind,
Just have your will way there, Lord, and then, Lord, for Lorraine, she continues to struggle with her health issues. We pray, Father, you'll continue meeting her physical and her spiritual needs. And then, Lord, for Danny Ralston, for his muscular dystrophy and his related problems, we pray, Father, that you just meet this young man's needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Linda F., as she deals with her health issues, Father, you know each and every one. So, Father, we pray that you meet her needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Rosa, for her foot pain, her heart, and her eyes and her diabetes control, we pray, Father, that you just have your will and way there in her life and meet all those needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Sophie, we pray, Lord, for her serious and ongoing health issues. We pray, Father, that your will would be done in her life, meet her physical and her spiritual needs, and also for her parents, Lord, that they'll come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, for Brother Dan Jarlin, for his meeting and for his financial needs for his ministry, we pray, Father, you'll continue meeting those needs according to your will. And Lord, for Johnny as he serves the city of Burlington, we pray, Father, that you meet his needs there, his physical needs, and Lord, put a hedge of protection around him and all the other police officers, Lord, that are willing to lay down their lives to protect us. So, Father, we pray that you just have your will and way in their life and meet all their needs. And then, Lord, for Sarah Hopkins' dad, we pray for his salvation, for his health issues. Lord, you know the needs there, so we pray that you meet those needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Joshua B., for his health issues, we pray, Father, that you meet his physical needs according to your will. And then, Lord, for Clark's friend, John, who has abdominal problems, we pray, Father, that you'd be with him and just have your will and way in his life. And then, Lord, for the problem with the Westbury Park, Father, we pray that you just have your will and way there and give them the wisdom for the decisions they make. And just have your will and way and meet all these needs now. Again, Lord, tonight we pray for our pastor and his family. We pray, Father, you'll continue meeting their physical and spiritual and financial needs. And then, Lord, we just ask your will would be done. Be with our church family, and meet their needs, and Lord, according to your will. And Lord, we ask that your will would be done and meet all these needs now. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Christ's name.
Lord, in the area of pregnancy needs, Lord, we lift up before you the Burlington CareNet Pregnancy Center, Lord. We just think of as the end of the fiscal year comes to an end, Lord, and people are deciding how to donate, Lord. We ask for you to just give them a burden for donating to the Burlington CareNet Pregnancy Center, Lord, just to meet their needs and spiritually and also financially, Lord. We ask for you to have an outpouring, Lord, of all the volunteers, Lord, just to meet all their needs and fill all their ships, Lord. We pray for souls to be saved in and through this ministry, Lord. And we just thank you so much for all the opportunities that the workers have each day to give out the gospel and just to lead others to you, Lord. We ask for you to get all the honor and glory that comes as a result of their ministry, Lord. And we just ask for you to continue to bless them and meet their needs. We lift up before you Candace B., Lord. We thank you so much for the good report that you've had recently, Lord. We ask for you just to help us to continue to have opportunities to witness to her, Lord, and just to give her the gospel, Lord. And we just pray for her to receive salvation, Lord, and also for the salvation of her unborn child. Lord, we ask for wisdom for her doctors and nurses, Lord, and just to keep a hedge of protection around her and her unborn child, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you've already done and will continue to in that pregnancy, Lord. And we lift up before you Christian families. We pray for them to consider foster parenting or adopting, Lord. And we just thank you so much for those that have already, Lord. And we just think of the difference that you can make in those families' lives, Lord. And we just thank you so much for all that you do in this area of ministry as well, Lord. In your Son's name we pray.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we can come together tonight. And Lord, as we continue in prayer tonight, Father, we are so thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who made all this possible. And Father, tonight as we think of the spiritual needs and, Father, these names that are down here, Father, you already knew them before they were even spoken. But tonight, Lord, they are heavy upon somebody's heart because they put the names down here. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you will also speak to their heart. And Father, that you continually speak to them, and Lord, as the people that put the names down here and give them peace and comfort in this matter, knowing that you are the great Lord and Savior and that you can continually help them. At one time, Lord, these people confessed to know Christ as their Savior, but Father, they have slowly slipping away. And Father, we think of Elizabeth. We think of Suzanne and Tommy H. tonight. We think of Chris S. and Jason S. We think of Victoria B. and Jerry Q. We think of Justin P. We think of Brittany and Sandy. And we also think of Jordan H. We think of John M. We think of Gail R. and her daughter. We think of Jacob C. and Keith D. and Andre F. We think of Chelsea P. and Emily H. and John D. Father, again, a precious soul that, Lord, has slowly slipped away. And Father, speak to their hearts tonight that they might feel thy presence at every moment. Lord, might you lead them back soon, that they would come to be serving you again. Father, each and every name tonight is a precious soul. We thank you for them. We thank you for this time that we have together to pray for each and every one of them. And tonight we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name.
And Father, as we continue before your throne of grace tonight, Lord, we can't help but say thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who so willingly left the glory of heaven to live under the law in this earth, and Father, to live a sinless and a perfect life, to fulfill all of the law, and yet, Lord, was ridiculed, was crucified, was buried, but gloriously was resurrected, Lord, so that we might have the opportunity to live forever with you, with Christ as our Savior. But Father, there are so many tonight that don't recognize Jesus Christ as a man or as a Savior. Father, we pray tonight for these that do not know the hope, that do not know the peace. Lord, we've just come through this election cycle, and it's ever so much more evident the lack of peace and the lack of hope that folks have because they're trusting in everything but the Son of God. Lord, governments and policies and ideals won't do us any good. There is no peace or hope in those. So, Father, tonight we're praying for Walt S. We're praying for Sharon and Todd M., for Jeff, Jen, and Travis S. We're praying tonight for Patty B. and Corey B. Lord, we're praying for Austin and Kenny F. We're praying tonight, Lord, for Cindy and Paul P., and for Sheena S., for Sarah C., for Tyler G., and for Danny and Paul F. Father, we're praying tonight for Jim P., for Nathan D., and Gary R., for Jeff and Mike. Lord, we pray for Stephen T., for Liz and Sean, for Beverly M. Father, we're praying also for Bob R., for Mike and Tara B. Lord, we're praying for Joe B., and for Jake S. Father, we're also praying for Mark H. and his family, for Chris H., and for Jacob, Lord, each one of these. Lord, you know the needs of their life. You know the needs of their heart. Father, won't you, in your time and in your way, Lord, use those around these folks who do know you to be that strong witness and pointing them to the person and the testimony of Jesus Christ, giving them that hope. Father, won't you work in their hearts and their lives, drawing them to you, that they too might experience the salvation of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Father, we continue tonight and we thank you, Brother Jim. We thank you for bringing Brother Jim Rose home safely.
Father, we pray that you continue to guide and direct in the disciplined life of watching what he eats and the medication he takes for his diabetes. And Father, just give him many, 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 many more years until it's time to go home. Lord, we pray for all of our folks here that have diabetes, and there's a number of us who have that. And Father, we just thank you for your watch care over us, and that we will also be as disciplined as we ought to be. Lord, we think of Calvary Life and the live streaming to reach the lost and the backslidden. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, in a way that only you can bring people across this particular program. And Lord, there's other churches out there that are very similar to this program that also preach an uncompromising gospel message. And Father, we pray that together that your Spirit will be able to use it to see souls saved and souls rededicating their lives. Lord, we think of our young people and their spiritual growth and discernment. Lord, they're being bombarded through music. They're being bombarded through various social lessons and curricula. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, they'll be able to recognize the foolishness of the world in comparison to the reality of the Scriptures. Lord, we pray for Mike and Jack tonight. We pray for them as they deal with the extenuating circumstances of their diabetes, with their legs and their feet. And Lord, you'll guide and direct. And Lord, we pray also that just strengthen them each and every day. Lord, we pray for our college students, their finances and their studies. We pray that as they continue to put forth their studies, that Lord, they'll be able to retain and to learn and to be able to apply. And Lord, for their finances, we pray that it'll be there. Lord, if they are where you want them to be, then Lord, you can take care of them, not only spiritually, but physically and financially. Lord, we think of all of our local police officers and our EMT personnel and firemen. Lord, we do pray that you watch over them. We'd love to see them all come to know you. I'm sure there must be somebody that is in that place of influence that might know Christ, that could share the gospel. We pray that their hearts will be tender and receptive. But in the meantime, Father, we pray that you'll keep them safe as they put themselves out there so that they can return to their families. Lord, we think of Nellie tonight. We pray that you'll guide and direct in her life and the issues and the various pains that she deals with. Lord, we think of Brother Meldrum, and we think of Kirk Holloway tonight, and Lord, both with brain tumors, and Lord, we pray for their finances, but Lord, above all, we just pray that, Lord, that your grace for them would be magnified in a way that would bring peace to them. Lord, we think of what very similar responses in Pastor Meldrum's and in Kirk, the depression and the sleeping and the not wanting to deal with life in general. We just pray that, Lord, again, in a way that only you can, draw close to them and either, Lord, provide the grace that they need as well as the finances. We pray the same for Mrs. Meldrum. We pray the same for Christy and the children as well. Guide and direct there. Lord, we think of Tom's friend tonight, John. He's esophageal cancer. We pray that, again, you'll guide and direct in this man's life, that he may be a testimony and a witness as well. Lord, Karen Smith, for recurring ankle pain, discomfort on both her ankles. We think of the financial dilemma that's coming. And Lord, none of this is a surprise to you. But Father, we just pray that you'll guide and direct Karen emotionally and spiritually and physically, and provide the work that she needs to meet the needs that she has. Lord, we think of Sean tonight for surgery, and we haven't heard yet a date, but we pray that, again, you'll guide and direct there to bring that happen before it's too late. Lord, for Matt Hopkins to find a working diet with his intestinal problems. Lord, praise for, again, Jim and Rose's return. We think of Lisa, Stephanie's mom, as she continues to deal with the physical therapy, that she'll be getting stronger with each and every day. And Lord, we just pray that you'll meet her needs spiritually and physically. Lord, for Ron, as he continues on with his chemo, Lord, may he and Tammy both become a good witness. Lord, you've put him in places where they could certainly be witnesses. And Lord, this is not a time to be indifferent to what other people are going through. But Lord, he knows, and as Tammy knows, Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, they may be in a room there with those who don't know you. And Lord, that this would be an opportunity to be able to exchange words with them concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we think of Diane and Chuck and the family wanting decent weather so they can get their roof taken care of. Pray that you'll meet there. We think of Emily Moore with her asthma, and both her and Hannah with her colds. Lord, we pray that they'll be well and healed. We think of Pam with the problem she's having with her jaw. That again, Lord, that everything will go well. You'll touch their bodies, heal, and we'll see them in the house of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for working in Ron Hopkins' life and as well, that he knows what the problem is and what he must now deal with it. And Lord, you'll help them to be disciplined. We think of Wendy's stepmom, who's in hospice care right now. And Father, we just pray that, again, your grace and mercy will prevail there as well. And Father, we lift these up before your throne of grace, because, Lord, we just cannot bring them to anyone who is greater, more loving, and more caring. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our missionaries out there. We pray for their safety. We think of this missionary family that just lost their father of 8 children, and we pray for that family as they are in danger. We pray that they'll get to safety and that you'll protect them and help them to meet their financial needs. We think especially of Pastor and Mrs. Chris Digner of Ecuador, and Pastor and Mrs. Nathan Saint in Chile, Pastor and Mrs. Tim Brennan in Brazil, and Pastor and Mrs. Cron Horton in Brazil as well. We just pray that these areas are diverse. diverse cultures, but heavily influenced by the Catholic Church in those areas. And we just pray that they would be able to reach the people and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ and the salvation they can have through him, and not what the Catholic Church is trying to push down there. We pray for their safety. The world's getting increasingly dangerous for Christians, and we pray that you'd meet their financial needs and help them to feel that they're being prayed for, and that we care about them very much. And thank you for the work that they do there. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, tonight we think of Pastor Jeff and Robin Mitchell, Lord. It's always so exciting when they come to visit, Lord, and sometimes when Jeff preaches, Lord, we're just thankful for him, Lord. And they have such a burden to serve you, and you know, they've run into some issues in the church that they were in, Lord, and we just pray that you would just line up the perfect church for them, Lord, that you know, they could fit right in and continue their ministry, Lord. And we just pray that you give them peace during this decision, Lord, and that they'll feel confident in the choice that they make, Lord, knowing that it's your choice. And, once again, Lord, we just pray that you'll give them peace and consolation during this time, Lord, and give them strength and hope for their next venture. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.
Thank you.